Shalom, shalom, shalom. Giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein by saying hallelujah. This is Moray Ishaya, Ben Yisrael, bringing you another program of Nothing But the Truth. And it is true that all you're going to get is the truth. For the Creator ordained me to tell you the truth. But if for some strange reason you're suspicious of anything that I'm saying to you, I'm bringing to you, give me a call and we will discuss it. 919-931-6216. Let me say shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of Blog Talk. And shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of internet. Truly, I know the only reason why you are listening, it is because of your fear for Elohim. Again, we got another beautiful program planned for you that we'll discuss tonight. But before we get into our program, I will first give you a couple updates. One, I praise the Mighty Yah for bringing myself and family to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. This is where I'm currently at. And we are working out and solidifying all the various details for our upcoming conference, which will be held in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, in the month of July, the last weekend of July, which will be the July the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, and we will conclude on the 31st. We have a lot of beautiful things planned for this conference, things that we had never done before. So this is a conference you don't want to miss. What will we be dealing with at this particular conference? Well, the focus of our discussion will be the covenant of marriage. What is marriage? What is the covenant of marriage? What are the signs and tokens of marriage? Or the tokens and signs of marriage? What are the responsibilities of the man or the husband in marriage? And is the husband fulfilling his responsibilities in marriage today? These are just some of the few deal with. Now, why did I say this is an area that we really haven't done with or dealt with before? Because at this conference, we will be exclusively dealing with the responsibility of the man. And we're going to search it out real good to see, are we fulfilling our responsibility to our wives, to our family, to our children? Also, are we fulfilling our responsibilities to the fatherless and the widow, the poor and the needy? All these things are connected with one another. And we're going to search them out. And if it is found, which we know it is, that we are lacking, then we will acknowledge it. We will atone for it. And we will pledge to do what's right. The leaders and the men, the husbands, the brothers are serious about this endeavor. We will be prepared to renew vows for those who want to reestablish their holy matrimony. We will marry those who would like to bring their relationship into holiness. And we will counsel and be there for those who just need the crooked things made straight. So this will be a thorough and detailed conference on the responsibilities of the man. As many of you all know, the scripture says the leaders cause the people to err, and those that are led of them are destroyed. We will deal with this in great details. And I did get the text that the volume seems low. We will try to get that corrected. We'll have someone work on that. So this is what we'll be dealing with at our upcoming conference, and we will give you more details. And as I stated, this weekend you'll start receiving all the various notifications on where and how to make your reservations for this upcoming conference. You will begin to receive this information this weekend. And this is a conference you don't want to miss. The Creator said, salvation is near to come, and His righteousness is to be revealed. So, how can a nation be righteous? How can a people be righteous? How can tribes be righteous without holy matrimony? Holy matrimony is the cornerstone of a righteous people and a righteous nation. And so we're going to deal with these things so that we can turn the tide. The scripture says, it is a light thing that thou should be, that thou should raise up the tribes of Yaakov and preserve the remnant of Israel, but I will also give thee a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. So this theme concerning marriage is imperative, because how can we be a light to the world and our families are in shambles? The Creator said He will make the crooked things straight, and so we know that's where it must begin, at home, in the families. The scriptures also says in the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter. And let me read this to you so you can understand why this is so important. In the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter, this is what it says. The fifth verse. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yah. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And the only way our heart can be with our children's heart can be with us if we are one with our spouse. So this is imperative. This is a prerequisite. This is an absolute must that our families must be restored. So this is what we plan on doing. And we're going to do this at the restoration of the sacred laws of the Most High Conference. So if you want to get married, if you want looking to be married, if you want your marriage to be reestablished in righteousness, this is the place you want to be. July the 28th, 29th, 30th, and 31st. So be looking out for further details. Now, what will we discuss tonight? Well, there's some recorded in the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 22nd verse, and we're going to read that so you can see it with your own eyes. And this is what it says. Proverbs 18:22, it says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of Yah. Well, if this is a truth, if this is a true statement, what is so good about finding a wife? And what type of favor does Yah give a man for finding a wife? In other words, what? We work our whole life trying to get favor from the Most High. Moses said, if I found favor in thy sight, show me thy glory. Abraham said to the Most High, if I found favor and I say, pass not away, let a calf be fetched and make you a morsel of bread and sit down and rest your soul and rest your feet and let me wash them and clean them. If I found favor with thee. And all through the scriptures, Noah, since I found grace in thy sight, all through the scriptures, these various holy men, these righteous men, these special men, they found favor in the sight of Yah. And this favor translated into blessing. It translated into what the scripture called favor. What is favor? Favor is some type of reward, some type of gift, some type of present. But here in the scripture says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of Yah. And we got a lot of men out there married. What type of favor did Yah show you for finding a wife? For finding this good thing? Matter of fact, is she a good thing? And this is what we're going to analyze tonight. One, is she good? And two, what type of favor has he shown you? Or is Yah just speaking in a general sense that really finding a wife is not always good? Sometimes you might find a wife and it might be evil. And really, a lot of times you're not attaining favor from Yah, but really, you're being cursed. That's why you got this wife. But it is, if this is indeed true, as we are reading, and this is the word of Yah, then we should be able to see not only this good thing that Creator gave us, that we have found, then we also should be able to see the favor that comes with this good thing. And if we don't take time to open up our eyes, that we might see, stop our ears, that we might hear. This is what my wife tells me all the time when we pray. This good thing and this favor may pass us by. So let us open up our eyes real quick and let us read a few things to see if truly what the Almighty said is true. That I want you to read is in the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. Scripture said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of Yah. And who don't want favor of Yah? Who's not looking for favor of Yah? If you're looking for favor from the Most High, then enter into the world of Yah. Do the things that tell one to do if they want to find favor. And what is that? One of those things, you find a wife. This is why you know this condemns all homosexuals. It condemns all lesbians. It condemns everyone that would rather be single, whether it's man or woman. A lot of women today will tell you, I don't need a man. And oftentimes they do that because they've been scorned, abused, and so now they just say, I don't need a man. And then a lot of men been scorned and abused too and taken advantage of. So they say the same thing, man, I'm not messing with no woman. I'm not marrying no woman. I'm not getting with no woman. And oftentimes they live the rest of their lives bitter and alone. But let me show you some testimonies. In the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, And we're going to start reading at the 9th verse. And this is what it says. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Not on the surface of things, it really looked like Abram is putting his wife in arm's way. And he's really protect his wife. But here, this man looked like he was looking for protection. Now, was he putting his wife at risk? Or was this thing orchestrated by the Most High? Well, we just let the story speak for itself. And this is what it says. Verse 14. And it shall come to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. In other words, what did he do? As a result of Sarai, he gave him sheep and oxen and he asses. Men servants and maid servants, she asses and camels. In other words, this rich man seemed as though he was making Abram rich. Seeing all kind of maid servants and man servants and livestock, all because of Sarai. Did not the scripture say, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing? And obtain a favor from Yah? Then it says, in a plague, and Yah plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why said thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to wife? Now therefore behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. And they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. In other words, Egypt was just a pit stop for Abram. And what was it a pit stop to do? It's a pit stop to receive what he received. Because he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And here the Creator used Abram's wife to receive what he received. And oftentimes, when a man get married and take on a wife, this many favors and blessings the Creator give him that he don't even acknowledge. He thinks it is something that a wife's supposed to do. He thinks this is what a wife have to do. No, these are favors from Yah. And if you somebody do you a favor, you don't supposed to show your tail against them. Somebody show you a favor, you're supposed to show thanks to them. And Yah is showing you favor when he gives you this wife. All you got to do is think about how your life was before you got her. Of course, a lot of men say, well, man, she brought all kind of mess in my house. She did this and she did that. Well, if she did that, then why'd you marry her? If she was just that bad, why did you even get married? It was something that she did that prodded you, that promoted you to get married. Was it the favors of Yah? If you take away Sarah, then you have to take away all these asses, all the sheep, all the manservants, all the maidservants, the men servants, the camels. Take all that away. Because in the 16th verse it says, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. And not just Abram and Sarah. Look in the book of Genesis 26. And this is what it says. And I'll start at the first verse. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of Philistines, unto Gerar. And Yah appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abram thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. Here we go again. Why can't a man walk with his wife and nobody question him at all? But watch what it says. And he says, she is my sister, for he feared to say she is my wife. Least said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. In other words, they was playing together, not as sister and brother. He knew it was more than that. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how says thou she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might have lightly have lied with thy wife, and thou should have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And you notice, Abimelech said, look, don't even touch him or his wife, because he knew this man and this woman were very blessed. And look what happens in the 12th verse. Then Isaac sold in that land as a result of nobody messing with him at all. And why didn't they mess with him? Because of his wife. Then Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And Yah blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistine had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. This man had grew so much that he was even more mightier than the people who inhabited the land. How is that possible? Well, it was possible because he was blessed. And why was he so blessed in his land? Because Yah gave him favor. This is what Yah said he would do. Did not Yah say, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain the favor of Yah? You didn't hear about these great blessings until Abimelech said, anybody that touches this man or this woman shall surely be put to death. In other words, they was charged to just lead this man to just prosper. See, the reason why our people don't prosper in this land, because somebody's constantly messing with you, constantly trying to pull you down, constantly working against you. But in Yah, and you learn to fear Elohim, and then you learn to respect the thing, the favor that he gives you, you will be blessed also. Because the scripture says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. What's so good about a wife? And obtain favor of Yah. You can take all those riches and blessings away. All you got to do is take that wife away. This whole story was predicated on his wife. All the things that Abraham attained was predicated on his wife. But not just Abraham, not just Isaac, but let me show you something else. In the book of Genesis, the 31st chapter, turn there. And let's see if Yah is telling us the truth. in the book of Genesis 31. And we're going to start reading at the first verse. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's, have he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And Yah said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and led to a field unto his flock and said unto them, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but Yah of my father have been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But Elohim suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckle. And if he said thus, the ring street shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring street. Thus Elohim have taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring street, speckled and gristled. Angel of Elohim spake unto me in a dream, saying, Yaakov, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thy eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle on Ring Street, speckled and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the Elohim of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and have quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which Elohim have taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever Elohim has said unto thee, do. What was Leah and Rachel saying? They were saying, look, partner, all that stuff you got from my father, that really belongs to us. You don't have no inheritance in this land. We do. But since it's yours now, and the Creator gave it to you, it's still ours. So whatever the Most High told you to do, so do it. And why? Did not the Most High tell us that he that findeth a wife findeth a what? A good thing. And not only are you finding a good thing, but you're going to obtain favor of Yah. And don't you see the favor Yah showed our ancestors? I see it. And why are they wise twined and connected with these blessings? These men did not become rich just because of their fathers was rich. Many of their riches came from hard work. And this hard work didn't come as a result of them just working hard by themselves. No, this hard work came from blessings. Abraham was blessed. He didn't work not one day in Egypt for what he received. Isaac didn't work not, well, Isaac definitely worked in the time of Abimelech. But his hands was blessed in everything he did as a result of his wife. And look what Jacob got. Jacob got a double portion because he had two wives and many sons. And so his blessing was even greater. Look what the scriptures say about Leah and Rachel. I just want you to see this in the book of Ruth. Ruth, the fourth chapter. So you can see telling you is the truth. There's a lot of people think these men were just blessed. What it says in the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter. And we're going to read the 10th and 11th verse, and this is what it says. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Malon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, this is what all the people said. This is what all the elders said. We are witnesses. Yah make the woman that is coming to thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of who? The house of Israel. Who do you think built the house of Israel? It was Rachel and Leah. Why? Because he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtained favor of Yah. And it says, and do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. That's who built the house of Israel. These two women. And this should not be some wild imagination. Why not? Show you something else. Then you can understand why this says what it says. In the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter, because the scriptures say, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of Yah. What is this favor that Yah will show a man because he found this good thing? Is it enough that she's good? No, but Yah still will show you favor and have you receive favor from Yah because of this thing that you have found. But watch what it says. In the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the very first verse, it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hand. Again, this is just another point of clarity that wise women build houses. And if you find this good thing, you're going to see the favor of Yah, because you're going to see building take place. You're going to see growth take place. You're going to see prosperity take place. You're going to see a lot of favor. Oftentimes, you see it, but you don't give Yah the credit. Say, man, now, before this, man, I didn't even have a house. But now I got a house. Before this, man, I didn't even have transportation. But now I got transportation. Before this, man, I was just scrambling to get something to eat. But now I'm eating dinner every night. Before this, man, I was just running from woman to woman, man, and they was just using me and abusing me. But then when I settled down and got married, then I see exactly the favor of Yah. Now I'm established. Now we got a son or a daughter. Or now we got a son and a daughter. Or now I got children and we're a family. And we constantly building. And there is no building without children. Who are you going to leave it to? Who's going to get it? Who's going to be the recipient of it? And you can't have children without a wife, without a good thing. And if you get that, then you will have favor of Yah. It takes a wise woman to build your house. But let us go back to Ruth, because this is a good story about Ruth. Show you what this woman was able to do and how valuable she was. And she was just a Moabite. And this is what it says in the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter, the very first verse. It says, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, hold such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people, if thou wilt redeem it. Redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day did thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi? Thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the matter in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I bought all that was in Elimelech and all that was Chilion and Mahlon of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Y'all make the woman that is coming to the house like Raquel and Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthy in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Yehuda, of the seed which Yah shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, Yah gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naaman, blessed be Yah, which have not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, because this son, that the first son that Ruth had to be raised what? He had to be raised in the name of this dead man's, in this dead husband's name. And we're going to see what this son's name was. 15th verse. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons have borne him. In other words, you see what this good thing has done to her mother-in-law. This good thing has done to another man, all because she became a wife. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nursing to it. No, she didn't breastfeed this child, but she nursed it. She loved it. She raised this child. Why? Because this child was raised in the name of her son, who died. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, because it was like Naomi's son. And they called his name Oded. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And as you can see, this woman not only blessed her mother-in-law, only did she bless Boaz. Now here's a woman, she wasn't a virgin, she was a widow. And not only was she a widow, she was a widow that was a foreigner. And they didn't treat her like no foreigner, like no maid servant, like no handmaid. They treated this woman as she was one of Israel, because she was one of Israel, because she became Israel. And who did she have? Son named Obed, who had a son named Jesse, named David. And you notice David was the third son, the third generation. Really the second generation after Oded, but he was still, well, actually the third generation of Boaz. Because he had Oded, Jesse, and David. And what do the third represent? What have we been telling people? Don't the third represent the earth? Did not the Almighty make on the third day? And did not the Almighty say David will be the king, higher than all the kings on the earth? Is there any king on earth higher than King David? Is not this the king the Almighty said he will be, he will bring back to rule the earth? Is not this the king the Almighty said he will establish peace and justice with him and all the earth? Is it not he the one that was called the branch of Jesse, the ensign? And in his days, the Almighty said he will restore Israel. And also in his days, did not the Creator say in his days that he will be called Yah our righteousness? And did not it say in his days, yes, this King David, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and burst thy bonds, and servants shall no more serve him, but they shall serve Yah their Elohim and David their king, in whom I will raise up for them? Well, yes, this is that one. And who did these great blessings come through? Who did these great blessings come from? Was it not this woman, this wife called Ruth? Now, don't you see? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of Yah. What favor has Yah shown you that you have acknowledged, that you have seen with your own eyes, that you have received with your own hands? Is not your eyes open that you can see and your ears open that you might hear? Did not Yah say, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain the favor of Yah? This is what we want you to know. If you have any questions or comments on anything that I'm bringing to you, give us a call. Those that's on the line, press the number 1 on your board, and I'll come right to you. Or text me, 919-931-6216. And we're going to go right to some of our callers. 91. The 513 area code, Cincinnati, Ohio. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Praise the mighty Yah, Moray. How you doing?
Praise the mighty Yah. Doing excellent.
I praise to the Most High. I just wanted to call in and say I'm most definitely enjoying this lesson tonight, lesson you're giving tonight, and looking forward to hearing your lesson that you'll be teaching on tomorrow as well. And may the mighty Yah bless all of Israel and you as well. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Well, I appreciate that. And praise the mighty Yah. I'm glad you're enjoying it. And thanks again. Shalom, shalom. And we're going to go right to another one of our callers. This is one of our elders out there in Houston, Texas. Shalom, shalom,
shalom. Shalom. Yes, sir. Shalom, shalom, Ray. How are you?
Doing excellent. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. This is a very, very interesting subject and one that is dear to my heart in the fact that it touches me. And when he says when a man finds a woman, he finds a good thing. How does that affect the woman? Does she find a good thing when she finds a man?
Yes, one of the things that happens when a woman gets married, the Creator says that when a man leaves his father and his mother, he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one. And now she has a name with someone other than her father. And this is a great significance when a woman becomes one with a man. Now she has someone to cheer her up in a manner, in a way that her father could not cheer her up. She has a man to deal with her in a manner in which her brother could not deal with her. Only a husband can cheer a woman up in a way a woman must be cheered up. The Almighty wanted a wife cheered up so much. This is what he told our people in the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to read this to you, Elder. Deuteronomy. And I think it's in the Deuteronomy, the 22nd. Is it the second verse? Chapter? Let me see. It will be
22 and 11.
Yeah, 24th chapter, the 5th verse. And I hit it. I don't know why we skipped the 5th verse. And this is what it says in the book of Deuteronomy 24:5. When a man has taken a new wife, a lot of people don't know what that means, but I'm not going to go into it real good right now. But when a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. In other words, all business stop just for this woman, just for this wife. And why? So you can take your time and cheer her up. And what do the word cheer up means? It means to bond with her, to become one with her, to make her happy. In other words, you don't take a year off for she to make you happy. You take a year off to make her happy. And so, yeah, this is a wife having real good when she take on a husband. The only reason why it's not good for women today, and a lot of times it's not good for a man today, is because the man ain't doing the law, and the woman is not doing the law. And since the man ain't doing the law, the women don't have the examples that she must have to do the law. Because the law, it starts from the top. So if wickedness and unrighteousness and imbalance come from the top, rest assured, it's going to flow downhill to everybody else. So if a man desires for righteousness to prevail in his house, he has to be righteous. So this is how it begins. So, yes, it is good for a woman to become a wife. Very good.
Very good. We're also looking forward to coming to the conference in July, and thereby we may extend our vows to each other before the Most High and for the congregation.
Praise the mighty Yah. That's going to be beautiful, Elder, and I'm looking forward to having y'all there. And we're looking for others to reestablish as well as for the first time establish the covenant in Yah before the Most High. It is something we have to do because how can we understand our covenant with the Most High and we have no respect for our covenant with our spouses?
That's true.
This is an oxymoron. If we understand covenants, then we understand all of them.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Elder, and may Yah bless you all.
Thank you. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. I'm going right to another one of our callers back in the 513 area code. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. How are you, Moray Shire?
I'm doing excellent, my beloved elder. How you doing?
Brother, doing fine. And as long as y'all feed me with the type of food that's being served this evening by one of his servants, it just keep on getting better. Following up on my beloved brother's comments out in Houston as well as mine, I know that even when I found a wife, and I found a wife under the understanding of what Yah said, he still flowed the blessings forth as though it was like an investment that finally had matured. Yah made this woman out of the rib of the first man that he made marriage happen with, and we're the only two up on the earth. Then when we come together and we do it right and we bond according to the cheering up, it just shows total brilliant genius on Yah's part. It shows happiness for the woman, and it shows happiness for the man who's supposed to be the head of his house. So I'm just excited in a Yah way, you know, for, you know, the brilliance of what Yah's people talk about and the contribution they bring, which is why the light has arisen on Israel so they can be a light to the Gentiles. So it's just all very beautiful. And, you know, just my little bit of wordiness for being beautifully happy at what the Most High does. You want to say anything to me before I go, my beloved brother?
Well, I appreciate those comments, and the praise of Yah for me. You're absolutely correct. This is just demonstrates the beauty of Yah. And oftentimes, the wicked want to profane the beauty of Yah.
Uh-huh.
Marriage was ordained by Yah himself.
Hallelujah.
Yah brought woman together himself. Yah, when he made a man, he said, it's not good that man should be alone, even though a man was able to exist totally independent without anyone else. Even though he could do it, it wasn't good to do it. But then he made him a woman and went through a whole operation and put this man to sleep, took something out of his body that nobody on earth know what it is. They don't know what it is. And let me tell you what it was.
Hallelujah.
Scripture called it a womb. And what was this womb? Whatever this womb was, when Adam awoke, he said, this is bone of my bone. So whatever it was part of his bone. And he said, flesh of my flesh. And it was part of his flesh because this was a physical operation. He said, she was taken out of man. And since she was taken out of man, she shall be called one man.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we had today. And she was made to bring about this good thing because it wasn't good for him to be alone.
Praise the mighty God.
So
you know,
God, so,
you said the question earlier, you said, did Yah lie to us? No, he didn't, because he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of Yahweh, and I am so delighted that down through the path I married my wife, I love her, and according to all that we have to do, writing a covenant or a contract to our wife, we got to step up and do it and stand as though we were like Yahweh, like Yah made Moses. You know, we got to stand up and say and write what we mean and say in our hearts and in our spirit toward our wife and consequently our family, where when we look back on it, we can't lie the same way Yah won't allow himself to be a liar by way of what he's called to be published and written. So with that, brother, I thank you. I love you. You know it. And to all the family, I'm going to let somebody else get in here because I want to, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, praise the mighty Yah. And I love you and your family as well. Shalom. I'm going to go right to another one of our callers. This is one of our Moreys, Yehoshua to Israel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Yah is definitely righteous.
Yah is righteous and Yah is holy. Hallelujah.
And that, hallelujah. And, you know, it's a beautiful lesson, not only what you were sharing with your listening audience, but look how beautiful it is, as the Almighty said in the book of Malachi, the second chapter where he speak, or the third chapter where he speak to being treacherous to the wife of your youth. And the reason I bring that up, because he said, because did not make one with the residue, one with the spirit, to bring forth a holy seed. And that's part of, how can you bring forth a holy seed if you have nothing but chaos in your household? You ain't living righteous. Your wife is not living righteous. You're not doing the things as a man and the rule of your household to do things that are righteous. That's why we have a degenerate plant that the Almighty called us to be, because we haven't been righteous. We haven't been doing the things that the Almighty command us to do and to follow his ways and his statutes and his covenants when it comes to our wife and when it comes to our union and when it comes to our coming together. And when we do those things, that's what happens in the family. We bring that holy seed, that righteous, special, elect remnant that can serve the Almighty, because when they grew up, what they see? Righteousness. And as they get matured, and the scriptures say, raise the child when he's young, when he get old, he shall not depart, because you're raising him in the right manner and in the righteous manner. And that's what you're speaking of today, and it's just so beautiful, because that's why the whole household is out of course right now, because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're not living righteously like the Almighty commands us to do. And we had to learn how to return. The Almighty said, return unto me, and I shall return unto you. And part of that return is start being righteous. Start treating our wife in the manner we're supposed to treat her. And then she can start living righteous because we'll be that example. We'll be that shining light. And then we can be a light to everyone else. And our children can be a light to everyone else. And I just want to make those comments because the lesson has been great, greatly received. It was beautiful. And it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you're absolutely right. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot to acknowledge. And the reason why a lot of people don't have the success in their marriages that they so seem to desire is exactly what you're saying. They're not acknowledging this favor that Yah has shown them by giving them a wife. They're not acknowledging this favor. And if you're not going to acknowledge, that's like you doing something, doing some favor for somebody, and then you did them a favor and got them a job. And you, and now that they got this job, they celebrating, they doing good, they doing everything, but they never even acknowledge the fact that you the one helped them. They never even thanked you. They never even acknowledge you not one iota, and you the one took your time, put your name on the line to get them this job. And they show no gratitude. And this is what's happening in our community. We show no gratitude for this woman, this wife that we have taken, even though the Creator said a prudent wife is from Him. That's from Him. But we show no acknowledgement and no gratitude at all, even though the Creator Himself said He that findeth a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of Yah. And since we don't acknowledge Him, that this is what He's doing, this is what He's giving us, this is the favor He's showing us, and we don't acknowledge all the favor, no wonder divorce is rampant in our community. No wonder things that seem so good turn so bad. No wonder the thing that is a blessing, we see it as a curse. It's just like children. Children are blessings. Well, most people see that as a curse. They see that as a curse. Yeah, how many kids you want, man? Only just one or two. I might get four. But in other words, if it's a blessing, it's a blessing. Why not get 100? Why not get 1,000 if it's a blessing? Why just get one or two? We just backwards. Things we think is a blessing is a curse, and things we think is a curse is a blessing. So you're right, Yehoshua. I just wanted to say those things with you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And again, what are we discussing this evening? We're discussing he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtained favor of Yah. Is this true? Is this a lie? Is this just a general statement that is made that can't be backed up? Or is this the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Also, in the book of Leviticus, see something else. Leviticus, the 19th chapter, shows you this. In the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the 15th verse, and this is what it says. Leviticus 19 and 15. ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yah. Of course, our people don't keep those commandments, because they do a lot of unrighteousness and judgment. And they go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. This is what our people do. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Now watch what this says. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yah. Do y'all realize what this is saying? Do y'all realize what this means? Do you realize we are commanded to love our neighbor? That's a commandment. Most people ask each other, well, do you feel like you love her? Do you feel like you love him? Are y'all in love with each other? In other words, like, love is just an emotion and feeling that somebody got to do to make you feel like you love them. Greater than say nothing but no feel like you love nobody. He commanded us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Because love is not something that you feel and just a part of emotions. Love is something that you do. So when the Creator told you to love thy neighbor as you love yourself, he's talking about in how you treat somebody, what you do for somebody, how you deal with somebody. This is a commandment. And if you got to love your neighbor as you love yourself, my goodness, how much more do you must love your wife? How much more do she have to love you? If you got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. As a matter of fact, we got scriptures that said, love the stranger because you were a stranger in the land of Egypt. So therefore, love thee the stranger. In other words, Yah commands us to love. And if you really know what love is, then you will know how to treat one another. You will know how to treat your wife. She will know how to treat you. Why? Because you're already commanded to love one another. And if you begin to start executing these great laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments of Yah, then your eyes will be open. Your ears will be unstopped. And you will see. And you will hear what I'm telling you this day. And what am I telling you this day? That he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of Yah. This is what Yah wants you to see. Yah desires to favor you. Yah desire to bless you. Yah desire to be with you and to walk with you. And let me show you something real quick because we only got a minute left. In the book of Genesis again, right before we go off, just to show you the great power. Look what it says in the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. I just want you to see this once again. Because, see, I never finished reading this whole thing out. And I'm sorry, that's Genesis, the 20th chapter. Now watch this. Watch what this says. Because I never finished reading this out. And look what it says. And I'm going to start reading the 16th verse, and this is what it says. Or 15th verse. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee." The 14th verse. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants, women servants, and gave them unto Abel, and restored him Sarah his wife. Now watch what this says. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee." And unto Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. And behold, he is to be a covering of the eyes, all that are with thee, and with all other, thus she was reproved." So Abram prayed unto Elohim, and Elohim healed Abimelech and his wife, and his manservants. And they bear children. Why did they bear children after Abraham prayed? For Yah had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Don't you see how valuable this woman was? Don't you see how blessed she was? Don't you see what a good thing she was in becoming Abraham's wife? And don't you see the favor that Yah showed them as a result of him taking on his wife? This woman got thousands of pieces of silver. And oxen and asses and because why? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of Yah. Please, my beloved brothers, open up your eyes. If you don't have this good thing yet, find her and get her. And if you do have it, open up your eyes that you can see this great favor of Yah and acknowledge it. Make it known so Yah can continue to bless your hands. Do you not want favor from Yah? Are you not looking for favor from Yah? Well, it is my hope and my prayer that you want to go the way of all the righteous. If I have found favor in thy sight, Yah, show me thy glory. Bless my hand. Show me thy goodness and thy kindness for this favor. Again, until next week, God loves you, and so do I. Shalom.